CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. Harry Siegel of the New York Daily News, a columnist and the op-ed editor of the Daily Beast, is here to comment on the perception and the facts of crime in New York City, especially Manhattan, during this recovery from the pandemic, if it is, and the recent tragedy of the deaths of two police officers and the shooting of more, and the general sense that even our armed protectors are at risk because of lawlessness, is accented by a memo issued by the district attorney early in his tenure, within the first hours, that he has now reversed. Harry, how do you characterize this memo? As a mistake of a rookie, as someone who was accustomed to speaking ideologically and all of a sudden was caught up by events that were contradictory? Because I don't believe Mr. Bragg meant to alarm the public. What did he intend?
So he didn't quite reverse or withdraw the memo. He's just rhetorically distanced himself from it. Alvin Bragg ran in a very crowded field with lots of wholly decarceral candidates who said the justice system is corrupt and bad. We need to keep everyone out of it. He's a former prosecutor. He did not come in with that perspective, but he came in, as part of this wave of reform prosecutors at the least, with significant financial support from national groups, including ones funded by George Soros, that want to see the justice system really, really change in somewhat dramatic ways. And Bragg's mistake, having run on this promise that he was going to change how the office worked, was putting all of this down in a memo and effectively trying to make law by fiat as a prosecutor, not a lawmaker. What he's doing is not so different from what Ken Thompson and then Eric Gonzalez did much less controversially in Brooklyn, because they kept an eye on public safety, not just rhetorically, and they did not announce many of the changes they made. They simply shifted where the office's priorities were and found ways to prosecute fewer people and for crimes they considered less significant, without having a market impact, negative impact on public safety. Bragg announced this first. He did it through a memo. He didn't give a speech at that point to introduce his memo. The reactionary forces who have been deeply concerned about this increase in violence and always think more money for police and prosecutions is the answer, and having more arrests and more prosecutions is the answer, pounced on this. And as a first-time politician, he was completely wrong-footed, and it's probably set a narrative that's going to last at least through his first term. I would just note that nationally, if you look at these sorts of reform prosecutors like they have in L.A., San Francisco, Philadelphia, other cities, they pretty much all won re-election. And I suspect that Bragg will be in a fairly strong position to do that, but this was the worst conceivable start for him. It also forced Eric Adams, who actively was not looking to play into this tabloid narrative of himself as law and order and Alvin Bragg as chaos, or however you like that, forced him to play into some of those roles and to just rhetorically fight, as he has been, to say, I need other Democrats to concede that there is some role for policing and maintaining public safety. And that may seem like just total common sense to you and me. It may not to other people. It does not to an awful lot of Democrats who've become convinced that the police have no role in preventing crime, and that they cause all of these unjust outcomes that you can count, and that has been their only focus. And you can get away with that again when there is less crime and a sense of safety, and it's just a much harder sell as things turn in the other direction. At the same time, in New York, there's a part of the Democratic Party that's all that they want, and Adams is pitting himself against that. It's why Joe Biden is coming here, notably, by the way. Eric Adams is not coming to Washington. Joe Biden is coming here to tie himself to Eric Adams and say Democrats can do both things. They can reform the justice system and maintain public safety. And I think they have to be able to do both nationally to have a chance of maintaining electoral success and power. In New York, it's not clear that that's the case. And consequently, somebody like Bragg, who is running for the first time, is aware of where the party is going, just ended up way out over his skis and has been punished for that politically since taking office.
Three political figures in Albany who are profoundly important to which way this story goes. The Senate Majority Leader, Andrea Stewart Cousins, the Assembly Speaker, Carl Heastie, and the Governor Hochul is running well in the polls. Do they have a position we can identify in this early days of the Adams administration and the Bragg District Attorney's Office?
So Heastie and Stewart Cousins have been clear that they're not interested in any of what Adams is asking Albany to do, which involve rolling back laws that they've recently passed with this new Democratic majority and now supermajority in both houses to the bail reform, which we mentioned previously, and a raise the age law that means less minors getting tried as adults. Adams has asked them to revisit both. Bluntly, neither of these have been driving this rise in crime. If anything, they're tertiary factors, and it's not clear they're even that. Politically, they've been big stories, particularly the bail reform. Again, because every time somebody who could have been locked up awaiting trial with a long criminal record does something terrible, that's a tabloid front page, as it should be. But they've said they have no interest in cooperating with Adams on these things. They've held their ground. And Kathy Hochul, the governor who's now running for a term of her own, who needs to do well in New York City to win and needs many of Adams' voters to do so and has often aligned herself with the mayor, has also been resistant. She can't afford to lose the legislature. And so she said, maybe we can change bail reform, but I'd have to see some data, not just post front pages showing that there's a need to do so. And from what I've seen, at least, that data doesn't yet exist.
Because of this, where we are, Harry, we just have a minute. Because of this, I ask about the morale of NYPD. I listened to some of the audio clips from the service at St. Patrick's. It was devastating. Where is the NYPD? Is it ready to support the mayor and restore order? We have about a minute.
After two police officers were murdered when Bill de Blasio was mayor in his first year, the NYPD turned their back on the mayor. With Eric Adams, who came in and who spoke very well and appropriately, there's no sign of anything like that happening. He is trying to strike a rhetorical balance. We're going to see what this means in practice, but I think it gives him a lot more space with the NYPD than his rank and file, than his predecessor had, to try to get this right and not to create some sort of conflict between the police and the rest of the city. For that to succeed, he will have to have them feel less like an occupying force than they often have in certain neighborhoods. But at the same time, that he makes it clear he doesn't see his NYPD, he's a guy who likes to talk about his things, and in the first person as invaders in New York. Right. So far, the early signs are hopeful, but that's mostly rhetoric we're going to see in practice.
Harry Siegel, New York Daily News. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.